David Locke joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hi, David.
Hey, David.
Hello, Hans. Hello, Scotty G.
Hey, I got a tour of the van, by the way.
What?
Yeah.
What's it like? Is it an RV like we thought?
It's right there. Like, if a van and an RV got a little drunk over the weekend, I could see it. It's right there on the line. It could go both ways.
It's a Sprinter. It's just a little longer than a short Sprinter, but it's a van.
I love that pictures are starting to surface of this thing. Like, it's becoming the interest of so many. Like, what is he driving around?
It's really awesome. I mean, it really is cool. Every creature comfort that you could possibly think of. Bathroom.
In a van?
Oven. Microwave.
Bed?
David right in front of me ground up some coffee and had two beds, by the way.
Two beds. I heard him yelling.
Yeah. Like, whatever you need that thing to do, it's going to do for you.
Yeah, like Scotty and I were there before a game. I took my broadcast Zooms for the coaches before the game, and then I made myself my coffee. But you've got to grind the beans right before you have the coffee. You're not going to, like, have ground old beans. Come on, now we got to have some level of excellence.
And you know those, like, electric, like, grinders? Uh-huh. No, it was a hand grinder.
Oh, it was a churner.
Yeah.
And by the way, just to point out, the espresso maker is now in the van.
What was that, David? Sorry, we couldn't hear you there.
The espresso maker is now in the van. So, like, I could grind the coffee, but I also have the espresso maker back in the van if I need a little double shot espresso before something.
This van sounds like something I would have loved to have in college. Just all the comforts in a mobile house that you could move around the country, that you could take a friend or a partner, and you could just go hit the open roads.
Yeah, I hope this doesn't come off the wrong way. I don't think this is going to need a college budget.
Yeah.
It came off the wrong way, David.
Yeah. No, it did. No, I've seen it. You know, the wood inlay is bamboo.
So you're saying this isn't the your grandma's Volkswagen Bug that you've converted?
This isn't the old, the old metal steamliner or whatever those things were called. Like, this is fancy. I mean, it is really impressive.
So,
David, you got done yourself.
You do allow company, though, huh, David?
I let Scotty come in for a little while.
Well, and here's the thing. I might put an end to that, too, because there was a little corner you have to get around, and so I kind of stepped on the seat a little bit, and I got it dirty, and then I'm like, oh, no. Like, I was horrified, and I could see David being – because David, David's one of the nicest people out there, but I could see, like, you son of a – and so, like, I had to get the wipes out and clean it down because I felt horrible. I felt sick about it. No, you didn't say anything, but in your mind, I could see, like, David, like, I'm going to strangle this son of a – and I'm like, no, I got it.
No, I'm not that way about this thing. Like, okay. It's really nice, and it's more money than I've ever spent on anything in my life. But we're going to use it and have fun with it and enjoy it. We're not going to be like, it's not a museum.
I was going to say, you come out of the hills with, you know, you pop those skis off the boots and you traipse through the parking lot. You're going to have a little bit of damage if you drag that stuff. I mean, that's got to be a used van, right?
Well, I mean, let's not get carried away. We're not walking around in ski boots inside this thing. Like, there is a level here. The ski boots come off before the skis are all tied to the back. Like, we have a little spot for everything.
Yeah,
it was very custom built. It's fun.
Yeah, it sounds like a blast.
All right, so Quinn Snyder after the game said those dudes competed, and they competed last night. It was kind of fun to see those guys up against. I know ultimately Chris Paul's going to do what Chris Paul normally does in a game like that, and he's going to flex his muscles. But I thought that team fought their butts off last night.
They had Chris Paul play 40 minutes last night, made him dominate the game. And that was awesome. Like, wow, was that awesome. That was 20 straight points he either scored or assisted. That was pretty remarkable. And frankly, like, I thought, like, not to be too negative, but, like, I thought that was a little bit of a, you know, Quinn, those guys played really hard, which our guys haven't at times, and frankly, Chris Paul showed why Phoenix is the number one seed, doing some things that our guys haven't done this year. Like, when we've had games that were getting away from us against lesser opponents, nobody stepped up and took over the game. Or by the time they did, it was too late. And that's what Chris Paul did last night. I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. We are not losing to Trent Forrest, Eric Paschal, and the crew tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he did.
You know, you bring up a really good point. I went through and I actually took the bench, the best bench performances through some of this streak and found, I don't know, maybe three or four guys, and two of them bench guys, that went 11 points in the fourth quarter and 14 or 15 points in the fourth quarter. You do get guys in the fourth quarter that'll come out and dominate, and that's what Chris Paul did. It's really impressive. Is that something that's functionally wrong with the Utah Jazz defensively in a fourth quarter specifically, David?
Probably not. It's probably more a testament to how good those guys are than something wrong with the Jazz. I think I might go in that direction. Sorry, boring answer. But, like, the best offensive players in this league are awfully hard to stop. We've seen it with Donovan, right? Donovan, like, teams old game wins or stop Donovan, they aren't able to do it.
David Locke joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Jazz back-to-back losses, first to Golden State, then to Phoenix. And then, of course, they've got another game coming up against Phoenix tomorrow night here at Vivint Arena. And keep listening. We'll be giving away tickets as well. But, David, I want to go back to the Golden State game a little bit, knowing the inefficiencies this team is dealing with and the guys are out of the lineup. By the way, I thought your end of that call was spectacular, because I would have lost my mind on that stretch. When that ball's hanging on the rim like that, about ready to drop and tie this game up and send it into overtime. Thought you held your cool pretty cool on that one.
I haven't heard it yet. I realized last night. I usually don't go to bed without hearing a final call. Last night, I actually never heard it. So I thank you. I'm glad to hear that. I realized it yesterday and was going to go back today at some point to go do the self-evaluation. I hadn't got to it yet. So I'll just take your word for it that it was good and stay with that.
I was expecting the was it AK that had a ball on a steal that hung on the rim?
Oh, you mean the worst call of my entire career in Memphis with Derek Favors? I have no idea what you're talking about. I have no memory of that at all. You mean the fact the one that I wake up in the middle of the night with nightmares of still today? Thanks for bringing that up, Scotty. I really appreciate that.
Hey, no, that thing went viral, man. Enjoy it. Look, I mean,
things go viral for various reasons, Scotty. Sometimes it's because you're an idiot. That one was because I was the worst call ever. I'll never forget. It was so bad that they put me on Mike and Mike in the Morning. ESPN. And Golic's been killing me all day. Since then, Golic and I have become really good friends because I tried to hire him, so now he likes me. So Golic's killing me. And I go on the show, and Golic's trying to politely kind of say to me, like, well, you know, like, isn't the job of a play-by-play announcer to use words to describe what a listener... I was like, Mike, call's terrible. I do think most Jazz fans at that moment actually knew what happened, but generally in the fundamentals of a call, the call's terrible. It disarmed him. He had no idea what to do. He was like, oh, all right, so we agree. I was like, yeah, we generally agree. Awful call.
Now let's move on. Let me give you a couple of calls that you can play and we can be proud of. How does that sound? David, one guy that caught my eye last night, Jared Butler, 13 points and was really efficient from the field. You know, hadn't seen him on the court since early January, and you're starting to see him healthy and moving around. Give us a couple thoughts on Jared Butler in his first year with the Jazz.
I think it's, you know, offensively, we knew he could score. We knew he could shoot. We knew he could shoot, and he's shown he can shoot. I actually like the play in the middle of the lane where he got the shot off. He has a low release, and I didn't know if he was going to be able to do that, so I thought that was nice. He's got great hesitation, great body control, great ball control, super handle, so he can free himself for shots, and he's shown that on the offensive end. He is still a rookie. Rookies don't win. You know, the reason he's not playing is because he's got a lot of things to learn. He might be really good one day. But, you know, Golden State's the big surprise team this year. The reason they're surprised is because they're not playing Wiseman, Kuminga, or Moody at all. That's why they're, you know, that's part of this league, is it's too hard. You know, the skip pass across the court the other night that led to a turnover and layup on the other side is a good example of that, where just that's a huge play. That's a big mistake. I'm not trying to pick on him. I'm just trying to give the perspective, you know, and that's one where he thought he saw an opening that probably is an opening most of the time, except for the fact that this league's crazy and the athleticism is so amazing that that window closes before you even realize it. And then all of a sudden it's a fast break layup the other way. Same thing on some of the closeouts defensively. You think you can do something and then you find out you can't. So he's still learning. The G League's awesome for him. He's got some unique skills that lead us to have some should lead you to have confidence. He's going to be able to find a way to stay in the league. You know, it's hard. 40th picks have a hard time to stay in the league. And I think it's interesting to watch he and Elijah Hughes because I think they're actually at the same stage. One's a 39th pick. One's a 40th. Elijah Hughes got no training camp last year. He got no summer league last year. So he's really at the same stage. They're both very similar to me, trying to figure out as they try to figure out where their skills work in the league. And whether they can become rotation players in the NBA.
What's the ceiling for Trent Forrest?
Well, does he add a reliable 35% three-point shot?
I want to say yes, but
all right. So give me his career three-point shooting, and I'll give you his ceiling.
Let's see. Hold on. Give me 2 seconds here. Trent Forrest.
About 22 right now.
Yeah.
In college was about 25.
He was at, last year he was a 19 and now he's at 28 this year.
And what was college, about 28?
I don't have his college stats.
Okay. Look up something for me. Elfrid Payton, who we played last night, former top 10 draft pick. I think that's his career comp at this point.
Oh, really?
Okay. I don't know if Elfrid Payton better than
I forgot.
What Elfrid Payton
He's been in the league that long. He's at 28%. I mean, this year he's at 14, year before that 28. In 18-19 he got to 31. 17-18 was his high at 32%.
Okay, my comp for Trent Forrest is Elfrid Payton. The only difference Elfrid Payton got was a top 10 pick for some unknown reason.
Interesting.
He made some money doing it.
Yeah.
So, David, one observation that I threw at Scotty was, of all the guys that were out, there were nine.
Can we pause for a second? I just want to point something out, Scotty. Asked me to comp Trent Forrest in his career, and I just gave you the perfect comp. I just want to point that out. I just want to make sure we were clear on that.
See, you know, this is what I love about David. Like, David's not about self-promotion here. Like, if David hits one out of the park, he's just going to subtly let it go and ride off into the sunset.
Quietly, not compliment myself or anything.
No. I love it.
So, David, I was just looking at this.
You're asking, like, the single most impossible question ever.
I ask you that because
off the top of my head, I nailed it. I want credit.
I ask you that because I know you have the answer. Look, you are the only person on the planet that I will ask that question to because I know you have the answer to. That in itself is a compliment to who you are.
All right, I'll accept that compliment. Thank you very much. I'll learn to be more humble next never.
No, you won't. That's fine. And nor should you.
I feel like you got
the brand.
I feel like you got a database of comp players that's just sitting there in front of you that you just pulled from.
Well, here's
the key on comp players. Actually, I have a serious conversation with it. The key on comp players and the key for Trent Forrest is not that I can find Elfrid Payton. I've got to be able to find two or three more. Or else you have a real chance of not being in the league.
That's a good point.
When people comp, like, this is my thing, when people say to me, like, he's the next Andre Miller. This was one we used to hear. Okay, well, there's no other player that's ever been like Andre Miller. 6'1", non-athletic, not shooting threes. If there's not a second comp or a third comp, your chances are you're Kendall Marshall and you're not going to play in the NBA. And so, you know, it's when these, like Jonathan Kuminga, the Warriors, oh, my God, there's 50 comps for him. He might be Rudy Gay. He might be. He's 6'6", 220, 6'7", 220. There's a million comps of him. Like, you're never – he'll play in the league for 15 years when you have 17 comps. That's why, you know, and that's where, like, Jared Butler's hard a little bit, if we're being honest. Like, how tall really is he? Is he 6'3 with a 6'4 wingspan? Like, that's pretty small in this league. Now, what's your 6'3, 6'4 wingspan that's not an elite athlete? Like, that's getting a little tight. That's getting hard.
Hmm. I'm going to leave you a little bit of room to compliment yourself again if you need to. I don't want to step on your compliment.
How concerned are you about?
I'm all right right now. Thank you. Okay, I got enough likes on Instagram today, so I'm feeling good about myself.
Okay.
Are you you all in on the gram?
No, I'm totally kidding.
Okay. Because I am not. And I've seen some data that says that I should be. So there you go.
You should be jiggling on TikTok is what you should be doing if you've seen data.
I know. Yep, you're spot on that one, too.
There was a visual nobody needed.
Hey, man. Come on, I just gave you a big compliment. what happens with the Harden Brooklyn thing?
I don't know. What's going on?
He does not like living in Brooklyn, and he does not like playing with Kyrie Irving. Does not like Kyrie Irving's commitment to the game.
I missed this. So this is super interesting to me because I had the reverse theory for a while, and I have not shared this, but I had bounced this around the NBA a little bit. I was convinced that Kyrie Irving was sitting out because he didn't like James Harden. So if you think about Kyrie Irving signed up to play with Kevin Durant, and then halfway through the year, they brought in James Harden. Go look how many games Kyrie Irving ever played after that.
Hmm. Which is understandable because both those guys need the ball.
Right. Like if I'm Kyrie Irving, I'm looking at it from Kyrie's perspective. I'm mad. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like I came here to handle the ball, be the guy with Kevin Durant, and you added James Harden like the next week? Like I'm not in on that. So I didn't know this. Harden said what?
Harden, here's the report. I'll read it. Harden has been vocal to Nets figures and close contacts about his frustrations regarding Kyrie Irving and his part-time playing status. And recent injury to Kevin Durant has made the issue worse, leaving Harden to shoulder the majority of the offensive burden during Brooklyn's home games. Nash's fluid rotations have also disappointed Harden. His new city has been an issue. According to multiple sources, Harden has not enjoyed living in Brooklyn compared to his days in central Houston. The strip club situation may not be as good there.
They're all closed because of COVID.
Yeah. Outside of the change in climate, the chasm between state taxes in New York versus Texas is quite obvious as well. See, that to me would be the biggest thing. I would never want to play in New York. Give me Texas or Florida any day of the week.
And the end result is that Harden's asked to be anything, or Kyrie traded, or what?
I think he's just somebody leaked it to the media just to try to get the conversation out there to, I don't know what the end game is.
Like, did Daryl Morey leak it to the media so he could trade Ben Simmons to...
There you go.
Brooklyn? Like, who's leaking it to the media?
Who has something to gain here?
So Daryl Morey leaked it.
Yeah. Makes sense. I could see him reaching out and say, hey, look, James, I'll get you. Don't worry about it, but we're going to have to do this first. Yeah, that makes total sense.
You know what's pretty fascinating? How rarely the super teams have worked.
Yeah.
Or it lasted, right? Like the Warriors, I don't know if I think that Warriors super team worked.
With Kevin Durant, no.
Like, I mean, it won a title, but they won a title beforehand, too.
Yeah.
So give LeBron, Wade, and Bosch credit. Really, you know, like largely Chris Bosch.
Yeah, but hold on, David. What do you consider a super team? Because I feel like Golden State drafted and built a lot. They didn't bring in.
I'm talking about when you bring the outside pieces together and try to make it. I'm going to put all my superstars together on a team and have it work. Success rate is not the same as what people claim. You know why? Because success rate in this league is super hard at all times. Mm-hmm. That would be the real reason. Because frankly, building from the ground up with your own players is really hard too, because eventually the players stop getting along.
I think the craziest one I've ever seen is when Prokhorov came in and bought the Nets and ran rant with his super team, and it was a really ugly outcome.
Well, may have completely altered the trajectory of Darren Williams before it was all said and done.
Like, that was a failure. The Lakers' first super team with Karl Malone and Gary Payton was a failure. We'll see what this super team is with Anthony Davis. He got one title, so I don't think he'd be a failure.
with Westbrook included. This is not looking good. It's turning into a joke.
I mean, Houston kind of built some weird things around. It's hard. It's really, really hard. Like, I'm not a big believer in the Oklahoma City-Houston model we're watching right now, trying to go from the ground up. Like, it's super hard.
David Locke, play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz. If you see a big van coming down Parley's Canyon, get the heck out of the way because David's going to a game. Give him space, folks. Thank you, David.
Thanks, David.
See you guys.